special Nerd Watch Spoils edition of the Nerd Watch Podcast. I, of course, am G Money. I am with Format and Gannon and Alika of Maui Comics and Collectibles, and we are here tonight because we have just finished the premiere of Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. So we figured we'd get together and we talk a little bit about how we enjoyed or disliked Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. So, gentlemen, we just came from the show. What did we think? So, where was it? Where are we with Mission Impossible? Let's start from the last film, 4, Ghost Protocol. How does it lead well into this? Gannon, why don't we start with you, sir?
Yeah, it was kind of nice to see the plot carry over from the last one, because they do mention the Syndicate at the end of Ghost Protocol.
Yes, they do.
So it's kind of nice to see that get paid off. I don't know. I really dug this movie. It was a lot of fun. I think, like I said earlier, I like Ghost Protocol a little bit more. I'm not entirely sure why.
Mm.
I might have to see it again, bottom line.
Well, that sounds like
it's not a bad proposition, is it?
No.
But it's a good fun movie all the way through, and they definitely brought a lot more of the humor and the team dynamics, which I always thought was important, in particular in the middle two and three, kind of forsake in the whole team aspect.
Right. The third one seemed very personal.
4, they really got on board with the idea that he really does need. It's the whole damn premise of Mission Impossible from the start. So it's nice to see that they finally got it kind of locked in.
Well, let's see. Let's take it from the first one. If we're looking at it from Ghost Protocol, it does lead right into Rogue Nation. They seem to have changed every single film. Brian De Palma had a very interesting vision for Mission Impossible in the very beginning. John Woo came along and totally flipped the script on everything. I think Mission Impossible 2 is underrated. I actually enjoy it for what it was.
You're being very, very nice.
I know. It was a totally different take. The third one comes along and J.J. Abrams injects his...
Alias?
Yes. I wasn't going to say that, but yes, he injects this Alias vibe into it. It wasn't that it wasn't enjoyable, because...
Yeah, I mean, Mission Impossible 3 is very much like if you took the entire Alias TV show and made it, you know...
A 2.5 Ethan hour
Hunt.
Movie, yeah.
But it's not. It doesn't suffer from that.
No.
It's a good movie, and to me, still the strongest villain in any of them is still Philip Seymour Hoffman's character.
Oh, absolutely.
To me, still the strongest villain in all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Now... Moving into Ghost Protocol, we had a very different vision. Brad Bird came along and made this almost, I would have to say, a very comic book style Mission Impossible movie. Would that be a fair statement?
I don't know if I see it that way.
No?
But he brought a lot of the grandeur back to like how the movie's made.
Right. Old-fashioned
stunts, taking full advantage of environments and things like that to really project the sense of scope.
Big set pieces.
That whole sequence on, what was the name of that building?
The one in Abu Dhabi.
Whatever that building was.
Yes.
The one that he does the big climb on.
Isn't that the same building that Furious 7 did the jump through? Isn't that the same building?
No,
format?
No, it's not. Because remember, there was nothing that close where you could shoot a car through.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I got it.
Yeah,
got
the
it.
One in Abu Dhabi, if it is Abu Dhabi, it's supposed to be like the tallest building in the world.
In the world, right. Now it's the tallest
building. I can't remember the name of that building for the life of me.
So that was Ghost Protocol. We had a different team in that. We had, with the exception of Jeremy Renner, who made it into this next film.
And Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg, right? Those seem to be...
Matter of fact, the only one that doesn't care was Paula Patton's character.
Paula Patton, and I really liked her in Ghost Protocol.
I missed her in this movie. I dug her character.
I did a lot. So... Let's get right into it. Rogue Nation, you really dug a lot.
It was a lot of fun.
Alika, you came in rather rogue yourself into the film.
I came in in time for the airplane.
Yeah, yeah, you did.
He wasn't even wearing his own face.
I know, it was crazy. It didn't even look like him. It was nuts. So, Alika, did you like Mission Impossible?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, I really liked the action.
Right.
And that's basically, I realized what I was there for.
Right.
You know, the plot is like... Yeah,
it's a little.
You kind of forget what they're.
It's
what
not
they're
like
actually
it's a bad plot
doing.
Point. Right. There's continuity to it. There's no holes. There's not problems like that or anything. It's just a lot. Like the movie didn't have to be that long. I thought.
But you do that whole thing where you go, oh yeah, they're there for that. That's what that thing is.
It's like when I found myself forgetting who is allied with who and who was doing what for who and this and that, and what were their motivations.
Yeah.
But it didn't take away from me enjoying the movie. I really enjoyed myself. Like, I love Tom Cruise and everything he's in.
Right.
But I just, you know, the thing is I find myself losing the plot and not really caring either.
Right. That, I can see that. That's
so, I mean, I had a good experience, but that's what I meant by it. Is like, I just wasn't always in tune with the storyline.
That's a fair assessment. I can definitely see that. So overall for you, as far are you a Mission Impossible guy? Do you
No, I'm not. See, that's the thing is I didn't watch the last two, I think.
What?
And so I'm, you know,
that's why you're lost.
Well, I mean, it was just a standalone movie. I followed what was going on, but it's just a lot of twisting and turning. Like the Syndicate, it wasn't a payoff for me because I didn't watch the previous one. So
right, it almost, you should definitely watch Protocol.
But you get it, bad guy, IMF. It's like, you know, right. We get it, you
right,
know?
Right, it's, right. It's
I didn't need to watch the previous movie to know who they
it's
were.
It's the IMF's version of Hydra.
Yeah, exactly. Every, right. You can, you know, it's analog to everything. So right, like,
hail the Syndicate.
Hail the Syndicate. So, format.
Yes, sir.
Sir, I was sitting next to you. You seem to be having a good time.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
was,
and you weren't making any funny noises or talking to the screen or nothing. That was very, that I enjoyed
it wasn't
that.
Wasn't that kind of movie, sir.
Well, yeah, no, it's true. No. So, what did you think? You've seen all the movies. What was your impression of Rogue Nation?
I thought it was good. It was a lot more funny around this time, which I felt kind of... But for the most part, it was easy to follow. People, I don't know. For me, it was enjoyable. I liked it.
You liked it?
Yeah.
All right. Here's how I look at it. Maybe you guys agree or disagree with me here. I think I liked it better than all of you. I thought that Rogue Nation was...
That hit on every point. You were like, yes.
Rogue Nation was, for me, spectacular. It is as good as 4, if not better.
That happens all the time.
I thought that Rogue Nation was phenomenal. I thought that the action set pieces were great. The opera scene was amazing. I thought that was
definitely
great.
Scenes you'll remember later
every,
on.
Right,
yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Every action set piece was very purposeful. There was action set pieces. There were suspense set pieces that were very well done. I thought that the story was good. The way it ends is great because they get back into doing what they do best, and that's spycraft. That's what this is.
And now it sets up the agency to exist.
And, correct. You know. And I, you know, it's interesting that Alec Baldwin is now part of this whole Mission Impossible.
I'll bet he's not in the next one because Lawrence Fishburne was that same figure in the third one. He was around in the fourth one.
That's
then
true.
It was who was the actor in the fourth one? My mind is just completely
blank. Because we don't remember the secretary.
Exactly. But the secretary always seems to change, so I would doubt Alec Baldwin will be around for the next one.
Yeah, I enjoyed him in this. I have to say...
But then again, who'd want to be in charge with all the stuff that they do in these movies?
That's true. I have to say that the dynamic between Tom Cruise, Simon Pegg, Jeremy Renner, and Ving Rhames was all there. I thought that they do a very good job. You said something very interesting when we left the theater, and that... It felt very Marvelized. That's a good verb because it does. It definitely feels like this is a team dynamic.
You can see them drawn as a team. All
yeah,
four of them standing
there's this
there
very
and,
big team.
My point is more about the humor, though. Like,
yes,
they really leaned on the humor a lot more in this
did.
Movie.
They
like,
did
the banter between everybody and stuff like that.
I can see that though.
It didn't get too ridiculous, like where it seemed like they were like not taking the situation seriously.
Right.
But the banter was definitely more there than any other movie so far.
Yeah, and I think that you always feel like they're in peril, which is very interesting. I always did. The scene
definitely.
with the database in the water, that was crazy. I was not expecting that at all. I thought there was going to be some big set piece of him just, you know, escaping out by the skin of his teeth, and I never thought that was going to happen.
That was a very suspenseful scene.
Very
it's
suspenseful
It's nice to
stuff.
See him fail.
Yes.
But the CG in the water kind of was a little bit, like, you could really tell.
It looked a little video gamey, sure.
Yeah.
It did.
And, well, the bodies is what they didn't get right. Like, the scene itself, but when you could tell when the bodies were CG.
No, you could, because you could tell
when
there was like this
around.
Halo or this outline around Tom Cruise. You could totally make it out. It was there. But I was so enthralled with it, I could...
It was a good scene.
It was a
well.
Very cool scene. So,
There's probably no other way to shoot a scene like that.
Oh, heck no.
No,
there's no way to do it.
In that one.
Well, unless, of course...
You
want to
drown everybody.
They got an extra $50 million to shoot something like that.
Right. Unless, of course, Tom Cruise... you know, can work beyond the grave, which is possible. You never know.
Yeah. The way he's going with these movies is bound to happen.
I'm pretty sure that's why he's so invested in Scientology.
That's exactly right,
sir. Not anymore. He's jumping out.
Oh, is he really? Is that what's happening?
The news I keep seeing all over the place. Wow. He's leaving Scientology for his daughter.
Pure speculation. That's insane.
I don't know. I mean, it's
they've made him immortal. You don't need children.
That's
anymore.
Right. That's right. There is.
He's going to end up eating, sir. Mark my words.
There is that about Scientology. It says that children are but a nuisance. So it's very interesting. I've seen that documentary.
Yeah, we're all going.
We all know what's going on with her. But anyway, listen. He was Tom Cruise was great in the movie. I will say this: Tom Cruise is definitely starting to show his age.
Yeah, that's all I could notice, and I felt awful for noticing it.
But not slowing down.
No,
he was a beast in the action scenes. Like, I was like, this is like a muscled out.
Not
Cruise,
slowing
man.
Down at all.
Format said something very interesting to me when we were sitting when we were watching the film. They actually made a height joke about Tom Cruise.
Where?
And in the opera
when
scene.
When she took off her
No. In the
when
opera
they both
scene,
stood up
when they
on
both
the catwalk.
Stood up and the guy kept
rising
and he's going and he's like
sure.
They made a joke about his height cuz he's such a small guy.
Yeah.
And he and Tom Cruise is never wants anybody to do that, but that was really cute. I thought that was very funny. So, but I don't know, man, I really thought that Mission Impossible Rogue Nation was the story was good. I liked it, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of the movie, you're like, you're on this ride, and then all of a sudden, they start explaining how to infiltrate the database and things like that. Then I lose it for a second, and I'm not in it because I'm watching the fascinating.
See,
action
that's where I got in because it turned into a heist movie,
right?
And I was like, I'm in.
Yes.
And then the heist was done, and I was I'll wait for the jokes again, I guess.
And Simon Pegg and Tom Cruise have really good chemistry together. They're very fun to watch. Well,
who would have ever bet on that pairing?
Never. Not I.
Somebody just threw that out there, just, you know, willy-nilly. Like, Tom Cruise and Simon Pegg, they should totally be in a buddy cop movie.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You would never say yeah.
Because if you think about it, if you look at the very first movie with Mission Impossible, the first guy that was the Simon Pegg character was Emilio Estevez.
And he dies in the first five minutes.
So I remember, I was like, man, that's totally interesting. So yeah, I really like the dynamic between them. The one person we're not talking about is actress Rebecca Ferguson, who played Ilsa Faust in the film.
Yes.
Such a Bond chick name, too, by the way.
It is.
Right?
Isn't it great?
Like, everything about that name just sounds Bondish.
Yeah, Ilsa Faust. It's great. I have to tell you, it was nice to see a woman that was mature enough not to be some, you know, teenage beauty. You would think that she's in her early 20s.
Oh,
she's a mature, beautiful woman who could kick some serious tail.
Yep, no damsel here.
Yeah, no damsel at all. I really thought that she was amazing.
She wasn't relegated to the love interest role.
Right.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that from the movie, though. She wasn't a love interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and when they parted ways, there wasn't the obligatory make-out scene, like, hey, guys, we got to get out of here, but there's 10 seconds to make out.
Right.
They just hugged. It was, you know.
And she gets in the car, starts the car, turns around, looks at Ethan Hunt, says, you know where to find me.
Yeah.
Dang.
And they don't kill the villain.
They don't.
Which oh, that's a spoiler.
Hey, this is called Nerd Watch Spoils.
We're spoiling everything.
We're spoiling everything. You're right. And I thought that was great. I thought that was very cool. We're probably going to need him anyway because we need to flush out the rest of the syndicate, I'm guessing.
I didn't think about that. That does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, I did notice...
Do we need to?
Yeah.
I mean, Ethan had all of their pictures.
There's like 200 some odd rogue agents out there.
Yeah, and they had all that face-detecting technology.
That's very true.
Unless they're all 3D printing faces.
I think we're going to need that guy. I
don't think he's going to give it up.
No.
Yeah, he seemed pretty agitated with it.
Right? No.
I think, but as we all know now, because I reported on Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch, that yes, there is going to be a sixth Mission Impossible film, and it starts shooting as of next year.
Well, as they were opening the movie, the way the credits are done, I was like, you know, this is just a very smart way to get all these people to pay this much money to see an hour and a half or a 2-hour long episode of Mission Impossible. It's just a new TV show that comes out every 2 years, and they spend a couple million dollars.
Well, it's been, I think the interim has always been like 4 years or maybe five, I think. But
there's a longer gap between two and three, but
right,
yeah,
right. So it's good in a way, but Tom Cruise, like again, was saying at the
he's
theater,
getting a little long on the tooth. He's getting doing older, these kind of
so you got to make if you're going to make these things, yeah, you're going to make this while he's willing to be strapped to the side of a plane while it takes off.
Yeah,
you know that's
while
that's
there's insurance companies still willing
to insure
to back a man of his age doing stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah,
so you're
yeah
saying they're filming the next two movies right now,
right? At the same time.
At the same
it's,
time,
it's Mission Impossible's version of the Infinity Gauntlet. Is what, that's what it is. But overall, I thought that the movie, and I don't know if you guys thought the same, I really liked that it didn't end with some huge action set piece, like over the top, the way that the opera house scene was, or the way the heist was.
Kind of like how Skyfall ended. It kind of reminded me of that, oddly enough. Because
really
Skyfall
that
didn't end that way either.
Yeah.
It ended at a broken down house and carried on to a church.
I really liked it. It felt
no big action piece.
It felt at all small. It felt very 70s.
Intimate.
Yeah, very intimate. I really
personally
liked that. Of all the bombast that happens at the box office during the summer, that felt really refreshing, and I really liked that. Because it could have went, you know,
well, with all
the
giant
balls
action
out
scenes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the scene on the bikes was amazing.
Yeah. And somebody called it, I think we were talking about it before, is like, it's Tom Cruise movie, you're going to see Tom Cruise in his bike scene.
Tom Cruise will always be on a Ducati in every movie he does until the day he dies.
And there has to be a scene where he's running.
Has to be.
Always.
Always. That is a that is
although
sure
here, this is definitely not a spoiler, he's running down that brick hallway, they're shooting at him.
Yes.
Does anybody ever just lose their mind and think, why don't they point the gun straight down the middle of the hallway?
Because he's so
spine
small.
He
like
is.
He's so small.
It's like, why would you shoot,
sure
it? Why would
get
you shoot at the walls of the hallway and think they're going to hit him?
Yeah, absolutely right.
The movie would have been over right there. You're like, we got him in the spine.
It's so funny, that same scene, when I saw it in the trailers, I thought there was gunfire from the side. I didn't realize they were shooting at him from behind.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, they're standing right behind him.
What are they missing? These guys are future stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Right.
These guys are all decommissioned bad, you know, spies.
Right, right, right. Yeah. These are guys that were going to...
They should know that technique. They're like, Hans, do the gun down the middle trick. Yeah. That one always works.
Maybe those were guys that got fired for very
that's
shit,
true.
Not went rogue.
Right, right,
right,
right,
right.
These were guys that wanted to capture Ethan.
Like, that's why they're in the syndicate. Because they're like, man, we got fired, man. That's BS.
That's a C-team.
Right. Right. It's kind of like the Bond. It's kind of like that Bond villain thing where the Bond villains never kill Bond.
Yeah, they're like, let me slowly.
Let
about
me
there's
slowly
a very arbitrary reason why I need him alive.
Right, right, right. Let me
well,
tell
you. Okay, speaking of Bond, though, I want to go back to what you said about Ilsa Faust.
Uh-huh.
Like, what if they cross the two universes of Bond and Mission Impossible? That's the American agency versus James Bond.
Now
like,
that would be
that would
interesting.
Be some crazy.
They kind of did already because
right? because
British
Jeremy intelligence
Renner
was in there.
Right, because Jeremy Renner does say we need to get in touch with MI6.
Mm.
So it's
baby.
It's possible.
I would watch that.
It's possible, hard. But I don't think. Well, I shouldn't say
an
that
attack on the British Prime Minister and Bond doesn't show
yeah
up.
Yeah, Bond's gonna be like, hey
that's,
guys,
that's true. Good
I just
point
gotta check you guys out
good,
for a second.
Good point. Good
he
point.
He didn't call me.
This is well, from what
the
my
villain inspector is Tom Cruise. We just blew it.
Well, from my understanding, I mean, jumping on this entirely interesting subject. If I'm not mistaken, Spectre is technically MGM's last film as owners of the Bond
ooh
franchise.
Wow.
So
they're not getting an option to re-up?
I don't know if that option has been put on the table or not.
I think
but
they would.
That's
I would
like their,
so.
That's their
bread
last
and butter
thing they got left.
That
yeah
is
they sold
much
off
it
a lot in order to stay afloat.
Yeah. So
you know what you do? You get Frank Miller to write the crossover comic. It explodes. The movie's inevitable.
Wow.
Boom.
Wow. Spoken like a true comic bookstore owner.
Well,
we'll have those issues for you.
Because
as soon as they're out.
But you're right though, because I can actually see that I can see the synergy between the
you
two.
You know what I mean? They're both secret agents.
Oh
right?
Yeah.
So it's
yeah
like,
but the
super
the,
super
the bad thing
agents
is Ethan Hunt is Mission Impossible's James Bond.
Exactly.
So
yeah
he's got that. He's already got that. Matter of fact, if you really think about it, he's almost better because he's almost a superhero in himself.
Yeah.
You know, the way Alec Baldwin does
he
that.
He gets out of those crazy situations.
In the scene where, in the Rogue Nation, where Alec Baldwin is standing in the room with the British Prime Minister, and he does that whole speech
yeah
on who Ethan
yeah
Hunt is, and was like, man, are you sure you don't want to sleep with him? Because that was like...
He's the manifestation of destiny. He's getting like poetic with it.
I was like, does he... I think you want to sleep with him
or this guy? I've looked into Ethan's eyes. I've seen the sun.
It's like he wears a cape, right?
Yeah.
And he can fly. It's crazy.
Alec Baldwin is like, you gotta see this guy, Ethan
your
Hunt.
Your life is in danger. It's like, goodness gracious. Dude, you hate this guy, and you speak of him as if this is the man that you want on your team. You know what I mean? So it's very...
Because he probably does.
Because you can't argue with results, sir.
That's very true.
Good you can point. Always argue with methodology, but not results.
That, very, very true. I have to say that I thought that the spycraft was much more interesting in this film than in 4. This one, it really, really worked for me, and
I had a lot of fun with the gadgets.
I love that every movie has a different way of making those masks.
Yes.
Every movie, there's a
the
different
little
3D way to make
printing
the mask.
Thing.
It looked like see that gel coming out.
That gel coming up was so cool. That was awesome.
And I want one of those keys. Oh, my God.
Oh, that key.
Or the combination lock one.
Right?
Yeah, man, that's awesome. That lock pick was awesome.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. It was like an X-ray lock pick thing. It was amazing. But you're right, that it's so funny that whole scene with the mask being made turns out to be just part of the...
Right, the explanation of how not to do it.
It was so great. And it was nice because they didn't overuse it because they only used it twice. The mask was only used twice. Mm-hmm. So that was very, very
And you
cool.
knew it was going to show up at the end.
Right.
Who was it going to be is always the question.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be
that always
Prime Minister,
comes
actually.
Up at the end.
What's funny is I thought the exact opposite. I thought it was going to be Baldwin. I thought that they had... I thought
oh,
that
the
they
way
had,
he was,
that's
talking,
why
about
he was talking about himself.
That's
why he
was talking about. Except that Alec Baldwin's a foot taller than Tom Cruise.
He takes off the mask and shrinks.
And then you're like wood clunking on the floor and he steps down a foot.
Yeah, that's right. I thought...
He gets off an apple box.
You guys totally didn't notice.
Apparently,
that.
Tom Cruise has the figure of a very old, sly looking British man. So that's what it is.
Yes.
It's very interesting. I tell you what, let's go around the table really quick and let's give this thing a star rating. Format, we'll start with you. If there's anything you'd like to say or sum up. Rogue
not
Nation.
Really. I mean, it was like we touched on. It was a lot of fun. The humor, you know, it was really funny.
Right.
I love the gadgets. I really want one of those keys. God. but yeah, overall, I mean, it was a pretty straightforward movie. It had different elements from different genres and it all wrapped up nicely. So I'd probably give it a 3.
3 stars.
Solid. Yeah.
Cool. Solid. Alika, what about you, sir?
I'm probably right there at 3 stars,
three
too.
Stars?
Like, it's worth seeing. You know what you're going to get going into it. Like,
right,
nothing
exactly.
was, like, a major surprise. Like, oh, you know?
Right.
Good twist, but, like, nothing mind-blowing. And
right.
the action was great.
Well, here's the thing. You may need to go back and see Ghost Protocol. I think that...
Sure, yeah. I bet there's payoffs in there.
Not even just that.
From Mission 3 as well.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
Skip 2.
He'll have an appreciation... I think he'll really have an appreciation for 4 because of Brad Bird's directing. He's very good in it. I think
his first live action, isn't it?
Yeah, that was his very first live action film. And then he made the horribly reviled film Tomorrowland.
I don't think that was his fault.
No, that was Damon Lindelof of Lost.
I'm not sure it was his fault either.
Really? He's the writer. He's the guy that
took
credit
for it. I think it's
Disney's
fault.
You think so?
I guarantee that movie got noted to death.
Sure it wasn't George Clooney's fault?
I'd like to blame Clooney for that.
I don't even blame Clooney for Batman and Robin, sir.
Listen, if there's...
that was a fun Batman.
I know we're rating this Mission Impossible movie, but let me just say something about Batman and Robin. I have to tell you that I am a huge, huge...
Bat nipple fan?
I'm a huge closeted fan of Batman and Robin. I am not closeted fan no longer.
Yes, that movie made a lot of people come out of the closet.
Now that you're on the record.
Yeah. I have to tell you that Batman and Robin, for me, was a spectacularly fun look at what it would be like if Adam West were in his 30s making a Batman movie. That's what it felt like.
You
to
got
me.
The witty, fun Batman.
It was really fun.
You got the play along.
But it's also really hard to watch all 4 of those movies in a row.
You can't. You
no,
cannot.
There's no possible
because
way.
Because it just, they don't gel.
Not at all.
Even Returns doesn't gel with the first one.
My favorite one is not the Tim. It's not a Tim Burton one either. My favorite one is Forever. I love Batman Forever.
Wow.
Yeah, you that's my favorite. That's my
really,
favorite.
Really
one.
Huge Seal fan.
Batman.
I love Batman Forever. That's my favorite. But I have an affection for Batman.
You know, I like Jim Carrey in that one.
Yeah,
I'll tell you the truth. He was a good Riddler.
He's good. He is good in that. Val Kilmer, by the way, makes a great Batman. Terrible.
He has
Bruce
a
Wayne.
Great facial structure for Batman.
Terrible.
His lips
Bruce Wayne.
And chin were an awesome Batman.
Yeah, yeah. But as a Bruce Wayne, he sucked. I didn't like it at all. But anyway. Getting back
enough
to
about Val Kilmer's lips and chin.
Right. Enough about Batman.
Yeah, that weird Bat Cocoa closet. Puff thing he has on his jaw.
Yeah, that's true. He does have that little thing on his jaw, doesn't he?
They had to kind of design the mess of hiding.
Getting back to Tom Cruise, another Batman in his own right, in his own films. Rogue Nation. Gannon, where would you put Mission Impossible Rogue Nation?
Number one,
I'm going to give... I'm posing to you a different question.
No!
Here, I'm posing to you...
No rate for you. Let me affect your rating so we can get the averages up.
No, averages up.
Do you have stock in this movie, sir?
I want your honest rating of it, but I also want you to put it in order of which of the five films that are currently exist. Where would you put
too.
Rogue Nation?
Hmm. Okay, for me, the first one is always going to be the best starting off with.
The first one?
First one.
Okay, Brian De Palma's.
I put three right up ahead of that.
Wow.
Not out ahead of the first one, but
also
ahead of the
rest. From bottom to top.
Yeah, yeah. So bottom to top, first one, and then I put three as the second.
Okay.
After that's from order from there, because Ghost Protocol would be the next, followed by Rogue Nation, then two, keep that as far down the list as possible.
Okay, so we're going from top to bottom then. So
top to bottom.
Top to bottom would be Mission Impossible.
So Rogue Nation
Mission
second to last?
No. Or no, it is
second
that's
to last.
Second, you'd put it. You put it
only because I really love three, and I think I honestly, after seeing this just this once, I still feel like Ghost Protocol is a slightly
kind of makes
movie.
Me want to see Ghost Protocol.
You should.
I'm sure it would rate a lot higher for Gannon if there were more movies. You know, he's only got a few to choose from.
Then it would be
there's
the only five to put in a top five.
Yeah, right.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
if there was a six, one of them would get edged out.
Well, at least Rogue Nation is in your top five. Correct. That's good. That's a good thing.
It's not last place.
That's true. It's good. I think for him, Mission Impossible 2, in a lot of people's
it
list,
has
would
to
be
stand.
The very last
just
place.
Just that scene with the doves, man. Why can't John
that was
stop
my first...
himself from that?
That was my favorite one.
That's just...
you know what it is. He has a discount
he
with the
just walks past the door, and the doves are flying through
yeah,
the room.
Yeah, doves
and he's
double
in an
pistols,
underground
man.
Facility.
His brother-in-law's a dove handler.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. Can I
hook him up.
Can I kind of explain John Woo's... connection, if I'm not mistaken.
The doves.
The
it's
connection,
a spirit animal.
It's a, it, well, it
he's
could
a big
be.
Fan of Prince, right?
But no, it has to do with, it has to do with the, it's a, almost like a, it's like purity within the violence. It's a Buddhist representation of the purity of life.
Can he use another symbol?
Then this is his
like,
signature.
Like a does bathtub that to, hasn't been used yet or something?
Does it have to be Mission Impossible?
It's John
I just
Woo.
Can't picture Tom Cruise being on the set and be like, come on, man. I mean, for every movie?
You know Tom Cruise was super excited for that scene. He's
I
like, when do we release a dub?
I know, you know
he that's
going to
be awesome.
Yeah.
Do I get my twin pistols now?
No,
or
no. What hey, John, he's telling John Woo, listen, I don't want you to call action. Can I call action? Because I'll call action, and so when you tell me, you point at me, and then I'll do release the doves. That's awesome. Okay, so now Rogue Nation, your star rating on Rogue Nation. Where'd you put that?
Give it a three.
Three stars. All right, so it's fairly among you guys. It's yeah. Fairly.
It's fairly solid.
Fairly solid. Right.
It's solidly average.
Solidly average. Hey, that's better than a lot of films.
It's, I mean, it's a good time with the movies. It's just not outstanding. Wow. It's not trying to blow the genre. You know,
no.
It's not trying to blow the genre
who
away.
Who made this movie? Who made it?
Christopher McQuarrie.
Christopher McQuarrie, the guy who's responsible for Year of the Gun from 90s.
Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects. He wrote Usual nice. Suspects. Brian Singer directed that one. Yeah.
Who's the production company?
Paramount is on that.
Paramount. Oh, yeah, Paramount.
J.J. Abrams Company is involved, too.
Right, Skydance is involved.
And apparently
in
100 other production companies, so I feel like there's 10 different logos for the movie even got going.
Just, that's what I wanted to tell you guys
it
earlier.
Literally said Chinese TV company or something
it
like that.
It said Chinese
like,
Film Channel. It said Chinese Film Channel presents and Alibaba Films presents. Yeah. Did you notice that there were zero Chinese enemies, zero, and they only made a visit to the Middle East. No no mention of any ISIS or terrorists or nothing.
Maybe they were already filming that stuff for the next movie.
It's a possibility, but I'm assuming that because they gave money to make the...
It's called mission, tax breaks.
Thank you. Exactly.
No, there was an Asian in there.
Yeah.
There one was, Chinese bro.
One Chinese
bro. I don't think she had any lines.
No, she didn't. She and ironically enough, she was in charge of the lie detecting machine.
Yes,
which is so strange. So it was very interesting. So they fronted a lot of money. They shot in those places for the tax
for one Asian chick. Yes.
Yeah, for one Asian woman.
They did and the same thing with Iron Man 3, though.
Yeah. Oh, and she was a good
guy,
by the way.
That random Chinese doctor in the opening of the movie?
Yeah.
If you see that movie in China, there's a whole extra scene with just that guy.
I would really love to see the Iron Man 3 cut from China. There is that. There's that, like,
it's not much. Like I said, it's just one scene with that
doctor.
Is it
really?
That's
I heard
there
was like 11 minutes or something.
I don't know if it's that long, but I know it's just, it amounts to just like one just more riffing. Scene with that doctor character.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow. I heard they cut some stuff, too. They cut a lot of stuff, and that's why.
Sure,
I
mean,
it's possible.
Most movies would be.
Yeah.
In particular, these movies that are rushed to meet a deadline.
Well, China has a tendency to go, well, if you want your film marketed here, which is a huge market, you can't have anything negative about China in your movie. So just
and
cut
you have
this.
To have at least two or three of our people in there.
Right, at least.
At least.
That's why, if you notice, in Transformers, Dark of the Moon,
they
when they go to China,
together.
There was a huge tax break for
sir,
them.
Sir, they did it in the last movie.
And they did it in, oh no, that wasn't Dark of the Moon, that was in China. That was in,
Age of Extinction?
Age of Extinction, thank you.
Just when the movie ends, all of a sudden, let's go to China!
Let's go to China!
It literally felt like the other movie, like they just figured it up in a battle, like, now there's something in China. I'm like, oh, good thing you guys are Transformers, you guys can get there
just
in 2 minutes.
Just get there immediately, yeah. I'm telling you, Format, you need to catch up with Transformers
hell
movies.
No. Don't do it. Don't
no.
do it.
I'm done after the first one. Well, I accidentally watched the second one.
Did
so,
you?
Yes.
The second one.
Like you didn't know what it was until it was too late?
Yeah. And then,
Shia LaBeouf and was like, this is going to be great.
Holes 2? I didn't even know there was going to be a Holes 2.
Robotic testicles.
Transformers Revenge of the Fallen was horrendous.
He signed on to do the next one, didn't he, Michael
Yes,
Bay?
He did.
Yeah.
He
signed on to do the next
one. He's doing 5. Do you remember Revenge of the Fallen?
That
was the one with the stupid Transformer that came to life that ended up having a phallic device that was connected to his crotch in the very beginning
of
the film.
No, it was Wrecking Balls.
Oh, no, there was two of them. There was the Wrecking Balls.
Was there two?
Yeah. There was the Wrecking Ball one.
I only remember the one with the Wrecking Balls.
The Wrecking Balls was the second movie, and that was supposed to be Devastator.
Right.
Right.
But here's the thing. Remember
that
when...
That was it for me. I was
remember
not,
when the Transformers infiltrate...
He was just doing it on purpose.
Wiki's house.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Remember when he infiltrates Wiki's house and the crystal ends up bringing to life like the toaster and all this? There's a scene that was written into the film by Aaron Kruger, who I blame, not Michael Bay. I blame Aaron Kruger for all of this crap, the writer. But there's a scene where something stands up, looks like a blender or something, and all of a sudden it has this phallic device and it starts shooting stuff out of it. And it's on his...
Did they forget they're making the movie for kids?
It was the weirdest thing
again,
ever.
Again, I wouldn't blame Aaron Kruger.
Right. Really?
Because Michael Bay could have easily been like, you know what this scene needs, Aaron? Kids are going to love this.
Right. I know.
Put this in this scene.
Remember, and we need to put the camera right next to it.
Right, Michael. Exactly.
I would like to think that a Hollywood writer, most Hollywood writers, would rather write the movie they would want to write. But once a director gets involved, especially an egomaniac kind of director.
Right.
They're going to just be like, okay, now this scene needs this. Put this in there. And then your name is going to be thrown all over.
Is that the one with the robot heaven?
Yes. Okay. Yes, the primes. The primes. And that's the one where it's got the uncomfortable conversation with Shia LaBeouf and his mom in the beginning of in the same house where the crystal is and they're coming to life and she's talking to him about how he's, you know, dittying himself in the bedroom.
Yeah,
and I was like, whoa, that's a little uncomfortable, man. What the?
Yeah.
What's going on? I'm sitting next to
doesn't
a bunch of
dad
kids.
Doesn't your dad join in on the conversation?
Yes! I was like, no, don't do
that. Yeah, it was like American Pie.
Oh, yes,
you're
exactly.
You're like, hey, can we get the same intro from American Pie and then kick off this movie the right way?
It was horrible.
Michael Bay just
sends the pie.
I hate Revenge of the Fallen. I hate it. I like 3. I thought 3 was fun. I even like 4. And I like 1. 2, I cannot stand watching. But yet I own it because I need a part of the collection.
That's the problem with franchise, man. Yeah. No, it's the problem with franchise. You have to, like, if you have more than two in a series, you have to get the ones you need.
Can't
you
leave
don't.
Out. When you leave out movies, you can't.
When
leave
I bought the third McDonald's, I needed to get a fourth.
You bastard. You bastard. Anyway, circling right back around to my review and my star rating for Mission Impossible Rogue Nation sans any Transformers in that film. I have to tell you that I'm going to go one star higher than you all. I think Mission Impossible Rogue Nation was amazingly fun.
You gotta remember, he just got out of the closet.
There's
I had the best time at Rogue Nation. It was very fun sitting. I had just as much fun watching Rogue Nation as I did Ant-Man this summer.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
I loved Ant-Man.
Had a lot more fun at Ant-Man.
I loved Ant-Man. I gave that a 4-star, and I'm giving Rogue Nation a 4-star. I thought it was fun. It was great because it felt like it was more appropriate to take your youngsters to go see this than to go see Pixels, which is the weirdest thing ever.
And I was setting up to bring my son to Pixels.
Yeah. You made a comment on the Nerdwatch page about how you still want to go see Pixels even after our Pixel Pixel hate,
there's nothing
he's not going to catch the bad jokes, I don't think.
Yeah. See, there's nothing wrong with that. You want to share the love.
Yeah, he'll love the video
games. I'm sure he will. But anyway, Rogue Nation is a film that do you guys think it should be seen in the theater?
Absolutely, for sure.
Definitely.
It's a theater movie.
It's, as the professor would say, an event film.
Okay, speaking of the professor, since he's not here and couldn't make the premiere.
Where do we think the professor would rate it?
Where do you think Professor Barry would rate Mission Impossible
One and
Rogue
a half.
Nation?
No. There were some scenes where they didn't say anything. They just kind of emoted to each other what they were going to do, so I would raise it back up to two.
Okay.
I will wager a bet that final sequence, when they're in the middle of that crowd,
right?
That very tense exchange sequence.
Yes.
He would definitely say that it evoked De Palma.
It very much does.
He would say that for sure. That would probably be a scene that stuck out to him.
That, you know, what's funny is you mentioned that it does harken to the very beginning.
It felt very much like that diner scene from the first movie.
It very much does.
Very tense exchange.
I would say
who has the upper hand in that discussion.
I would say that Professor Barry would give that a 2.5 stars. That's what I say. I can't wait to ask him.
Is that the official Professor Barry rating?
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe we should have this every week when we watch movies, just in case Professor Barry isn't here.
Professor Barry. Silent Sean, you haven't said anything.
Yeah.
Silent Sean is in the house. What did he? He was there.
How many stars
the
do you give
he
it?
He was there.
Sushi? What? Silent Sean.
By the way, he would not shut up during the credits of the film.
he actually didn't. But.
Ever. But anyway, we're going to have that every week now. We're going to have the obligatory hypothesis of what would Barry rate
and
the
just
movie.
Completely trash his reputation.
No.
Be like, what did you think about the Garbage Kill Kids movie? It was like 5 stars, right? Yeah, of course. Professor Barry would automatically give that
that's
movie five
my
stars.
Favorite film after House Party.
Yeah.
Right. We only have fun with him because we love him. So
it's the one film I'd give 6 stars to.
Well, you know what? Speaking of Professor Barry, though, there's one thing. Watching Tom Cruise in this movie made me realize I want to see Tom Cruise in a dramatic role again. I would rather see him in a dramatic role than an action role.
He has kind of gotten stuck in action for
a
little
bit.
Yeah,
he
definitely.
Are you hinting at maybe wanting to see him in another P.T. Anderson movie? Like Magnolia, maybe?
I said it earlier. I love that movie.
I don't think he will, because he just hinted that they're going to do another Edge of Tomorrow. They just said that they're going to be doing Mission Impossible 6.
Or Legends of the Fall 2.
He's pretty busy doing
Legends of the Winter.
But you know what's funny? Gannon does bring up an interesting point. What's funny about Tom is he is making all of these action films, right? Rogue Nation.
He's got to do them while he can.
Yes, but the funny thing is that his name is never evoked with guys like Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone.
He's not,
He's never put in that conversation as an action.
Credit.
He's never put in that situation or conversation of an action movie.
Because he can make other movies other than that is why he gets that pass. Because he doesn't have to make action movies.
He has this generation's Kurt Russell. Nobody puts Kurt Russell in the action thing except you.
Well, he's had the dramatic roles where he's the skinny guy, too. It's like
he was the computer wore tennis shoes, for Christ's sake.
Right? Yes, I'm going to tell you right now, Kurt Russell is a man among men.
We got that. We know that. You say it all the time.
You don't need to explain that to
us. But when you say things like Stallone, Schwarzenegger,
Kurt Russell.
Van Damme for
you can take a woman Seagal. Like Goldie Hawn. Or, you know, yeah, you got it.
He belongs you in don't the automatically think, oh, Kurt Russell. No. You, same thing for Tom Cruise.
Right, but here's the thing, though. It's like when we did the commentary last night, right? Uh-huh. Was it last night? No, it was Tuesday night.
Tuesday.
When we did the commentary on Tuesday night, well, you could never come up with verbiage like, Sandra Bullock is going to get stalloned, right? You don't say that chick cruised. Is going to get cruised, right? You don't do fun stuff like that with Tom. It's like, come on.
Because he's not a dirtbag.
He's not.
At least in his movie persona. I don't know. Ask like Katie, Stallone, you could totally picture more.
Ask Katie Holmes how she feels about that scumbag comment.
That's true. That is very. It's a good point. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a very good point.
In his private life, he's probably a scumbag, yeah. But his movie persona guy, you could never picture Tom Cruise as a scumbag.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe that's because he can do other stuff. Because I loved him in Days of Thunder, and that's not a very good movie. I always thought that was a fun flick. And he's good in that movie. So, I don't know. Maybe he is an action star. Maybe he isn't. Maybe he's just an actor that loves doing action movies.
He's an actor star.
He's an actor star. So, he can do... And like you said, he hasn't done anything other than action movies in quite some time.
He's even trying to line up another Top Gun.
Which,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, which...
So trying to line up another Top Gun.
He said that he's wants dangerous. To do... Yes, he is dangerous.
You could kind of warrant a Top Gun now, too, because it'd be about fighting against drones, as they keep saying.
It would totally work now, because it would have to do with the mentality of man versus machine, which would be a great concept.
Which was oddly wasn't part that of the plot premise to Green Lantern.
Yes!
It was oddly a part of the plot to Green Lantern, the idea of proving why a human being with instincts is better than a drone.
The right. Jamie Foxx movie, where they're fighting the drone. Stealth. That's literally the plot of that movie. Stealth.
By the way... That was directed by W.D. Richter, the man responsible for not just Big Trouble in Little China, but also Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stealth is not that bad. A lot of people hate that movie, but Stealth isn't that bad.
I don't even give it the respect to see it.
Well, that was when Jamie Foxx was becoming, like, blowing up, and mm-hmm. he just came out with the Ray Charles race.
I watched it for Jessica Biel. That's the only reason why I watched it. So
well, it was weird because
that
you have this
eye
like,
she's got.
Yeah, that's that. I think that's what that draws me to her. Is that vacancy? Maybe she won't know that I'm there.
It's just that way that she's not really heaven. Looking at anything.
Right. Well, listen. Somebody's gonna ask. We should ask Justin Timberlake that one day. What's it like being married to Jessica Biel, looking into her vacant eyes?
Sure, he'll appreciate the question.
And he'll be like, "Oh, that's right. I am married to her."
That's right. That's what I'll do.
Oops, forgot.
Oops, I totally forgot. All right. Anyway, gentlemen, we've come to the end of a Nerdwatch Spoils Mission Impossible, yet we went through a lot more than just Mission Impossible Rogue Nation on the show. We're averaging the movie out to about 3.5 stars because all the boys gave it 3. I gave it 4. I think it needs to be seen.
That actually
in
only
the
averages
theater.
Out to 3.
I think next
third.
Time he should go first.
All right.
Gives his rating first, and then right. we see what the average looks
and
like.
Just in case you don't know.
If you count the professor's rating
Professor
that we
Barry,
gave,
that's right, 2.5.
It would bring it back down.
That's true. It would give it a 3. All right, you give it a 3.
But that only counts if it actually adds up to what he would give.
That's true.
We'll have to see.
Well, listen. Before we get out of here, are any of you guys going to be seeing Vacation at all this week? Is that anybody interested in seeing Vacation?
That's like a when it comes to DVD kind of movie.
Yes. I got a full docket really. Again this weekend. I don't want to get to see anything
Does
else.
See anything this weekend. All right, all right, all right. Well, I got games to play, movies to watch, reviews to write. Format has his Pixels review going up. I've read some of it. It's I can't wait to read the rest of it.
Is it better than the movie?
Ironically, now it kind of is better than the movie. My Pixels review will be up very soon. I'm getting it back from our new editor. She'll be taking care of that. So, yeah, there's just stuff coming out this coming week. And if anybody happens to see anything at home, unless we'll talk about it on Tuesday when our next podcast
our
is.
Proper
talk about that.
Podcast.
Yes, yes. By the way, for those that did listen, thanks for listening to our podcast from Thursday from KAKU 88.5. By the way, that was very fun. I always like making the cuts in the show for all the podcast exclusive stuff.
So that nobody understands what
That's
the
right.
radio is saying.
Yeah, there's some right. strange continuity.
The continuity
We bring up a joke
works.
You didn't even hear before.
The continuity.
So
the
Superman.
The continuity actually works. So big shout out to them and thanks for listening. Guys, you can contact us through facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. I got the okay. You guys can get Nerdwatch emails, which would be very cool if you want them. If Alika, if you'd like one, just let me know. We can hook you up.
Sure, free stuff.
Free stuff. We've been posting a lot of stuff on Facebook.com/NerdWatch from Brian Singer posting practical sets from X-Men to Ghostbuster stuff to Wonder Woman stuff and just all kinds of the plan. DC put on a plan for their DC
universe. Well, they already had a plan. Yeah, we just had no idea when they were shooting.
Shooting everything, right. So they put out a shooting schedule, as it were. So, and then, big news, by the way, not to get into it, we'll get into it next week when we do the podcast again. I did post a picture of what possibly could be the list of people in the new Spider-Man film.
I saw that list.
I still don't believe
it. I'm going to go home and write my own list. Yeah. And then I'll post that.
I think Jason Biggs was a joke on that list.
Somebody took a picture
of them having typed it on a Word document.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Listen, it could totally be debunked. It could totally be debunked.
Like, why would you write that list?
Right.
That's what I was looking at. Like, without even trying to debunk, why would you actually write a list
perfect document,
full of people that aren't even confirmed?
Right. Yeah. I will say the most interesting one for me wasn't so much Jason Biggs, who I can't stand as an actor.
He's the least interesting part of anything.
I thought Billy Zane was an interesting Vulture. He was going to be Billy Zane.
I would buy Billy Zane.
I would still rather see Ben Kingsley like he was supposed to be in Spider-Man 3. Yeah. He might be a little too old now. He
spent his Marvel nut already.
Yeah, it's possible.
Has Ben Kingsley been in something Marvel? Oh, that's right. He was Mandarin.
Yeah.
And he like really upset a lot of people.
But he wasn't technically the Mandarin. But
yeah, maybe the actor character. Trevor,
maybe that's who Vulture is in this movie.
It possibly could be.
Like he decides to start a whole new career.
I'm telling you right now.
Piss off Spider-Man fans now.
I'm telling you that Ben Kingsley is going to come around and he is going to be Mandarin.
I would love to see it. Him as the Mandarin before they said he was acting. Yeah. I bought it. I was like, yeah, I'm scared of this guy.
Yeah.
You know?
It's weird too. Nobody ever gave flack that he wasn't Asian.
No. Because he's got There's so much race switching in the Marvel movies. Who cares anymore? You know?
Well, that's very true. But I mean, when you evoke, which will never happen because the Mandarin that I want definitely should have the long Fu Manchu beard and
speak like a deez.
Yes, and when you have villains that you summon
and have big front buck teeth and slanty eyes.
No, but
racist.
When you summon villains and like Fing Fang Foom, right? It makes more sense, especially when it's a Chinese inspired dragon.
But some things were created in an era where.
So you want Lopan.
I kind of want Lopan. That kind of racism
just wasn't even noticed.
That guy could still play Mandarin.
Yes, he could.
Totally could. Yes, totally he could.
That guy played Lopan could still play Mandarin.
Absolutely, man.
That guy's healthy and strong as an ox. I just saw him on something not
that long ago. I would totally believe it. That's how cool it would be.
Yeah, I did too. Actually,
I have no problem with Ben Kingsley. I have no problem with Ben Kingsley.
Get Donnie Yen in there. Have him play Mandarin.
Donnie Yen could totally be Mandarin.
He's a little too young and sleek to be
Mandarin. That dude's almost 50.
He's almost 50.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
Donnie Yen's been around for a long time.
How old is those Ip Man movies? Because that's the only thing I've ever seen.
Well, those are recent, but he's been around for a while before. That
guy was a stuntman, or was a stuntman for Jackie Chan in his movies, if I'm not mistaken.
He was part of Jackie Chan's stunt
team. Ip Man 22. Stunt team. Crazy good.
Right, because he was with Sammo Hung and all those guys. So Donnie Yen is he may not be a spring chicken, but he would be perfect.
He's got those good Asian genetics. He just looks young.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked really young in Ip Man 1 and 2. So.
Well, listen, can you imagine him with all the rings on doing the whole...
I don't know.
His hands.
Yeah, but then they'd kill him in some stupid way.
like they always do. He's rumored to be in Star Wars.
Was it Donnie Yen?
Yeah, Donnie Yen.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a new one on me. Wow.
It was announced that he'd be, I don't know if he's a villain or not for sure, but he was announced for episode 8.
I don't watch him in any role.
Star well, Girl some Jedi. Chinese newspaper or something like that picked up that story and announced
it. He's going to be the one stormtrooper that can actually hit stuff.
but he uses nunchucks though.
Donnie Yen, all I'm saying is Donnie Yen is Mandarin. I would totally buy that. That would be fan freaking tastic.
I don't know if I'd rather see Ben Kingsley over Donnie Yen.
Really? All right. Everybody's so afraid to tackle these the way. I mean, I don't mind them being different. That's not a problem. But everybody's so afraid in this politically correct society.
They just need
society.
To be good.
I think everybody on both sides are so mixed up they don't know what they care about in this politically correct crap. So it's becoming a big soup of nothing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how you portray them. You can have, like, you know, I want to say some, like, far-off, distant racial person who doesn't exist, and you could have that race be the Mandarin. Nobody cares anymore.
I think Gana's point is the one that's well taken. They have to be good.
And it doesn't matter if it's different. It just has to be good.
You know, that's why we're so worried about Fantastic Four, which, by the way, comes out next week.
Oh, God. No! Already?
Yep. Jesus. So,
we'll go see that one.
Be prepared, sure. Because I think we're all going to have to go see that. We're all going to have to see.
The only thing I'm really anxious about is the no Doctor Doom costume. You know me and my costumes.
I think the thing with no pants is what's got me all of
that's a little...
I just keep thinking back.
It's just weird he's not wearing pants.
They're going
to
make
I just keep thinking back to that to that scene in Mallrats where...
Yeah.
Is this dork man out of orange and the rest of his body?
Stan Lee would know, right?
Yeah, Stan Lee would know.
He asked Stan Lee in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, he does.
Yeah, that was flat out asked Stan Lee in that movie.
About all of the Fantastic Four's junk.
So, okay. You made a face, Gannon, when we said we have to go see this. Are you not on board with going to see this? Even if it is bad, we'd have to see it.
Josh Trank is the only thing that's going to make me give it a shot, like a true shot. Okay. I've never been a big Fantastic Four fan in the first place. Not really.
Interesting.
But Josh Trank's making it, so based on that, based on Chronicle, I'll go see it.
Marvel people in our age group, Fantastic Four was really like a fading star in our time. Like, it's really heyday was the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, like, it's very 60s idealism, the idea of going to space and exploration and all that kind of stuff. We don't really connect to those same things the way people of the 60s did.
Good point.
But we respect it, you know, as
foundation. I mean, you can appreciate it for what it is, but you don't really have any kind of connection to it emotionally, really. I don't feel any.
They just had the final issue like a month ago and nobody cares. Nobody's what happened to Fantastic Four,
there
man?
Was no fanfare. There was actually more discussion about why it was canceled than whether or not, like, they're gonna miss it.
Still have a lot of issues. They didn't even sell out.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
Nobody.
It
cares.
Just doesn't really connect with people anymore.
The best of it had come and gone already.
I think it'd be fun. We still go watch this movie. We have to.
Oh yeah. Of course.
We're going.
Yeah. All right, for sure.
No question of that. Right,
no one said they weren't.
All right. No. I just want to sit next.
There's
to
a lot of hesitation.
But they're already trying to retrofit and fix the movie, even though it hasn't come out yet. Like, they're talking about crossing it over with X-Men, and Bryan Singer apparently is having discussions on doing that already.
Wow.
Yeah, they were talking about that a while ago.
I just read an article online not that long ago about how they're having discussions about how to bring the two together.
Well, Fantastic Four had more of a connection to the Avengers than to the X-Men, right?
But Fox doesn't own Avengers.
That's true.
Through the cosmic angle, they're all connected.
Yeah.
Like, eventually.
Right. Yeah, and he teased that if that happened, it would be something along those lines. Like, it wouldn't be that they're all in the same city or in the same Earth, that they would find each other through a dimensional rift.
But there were actually, like, many... There was, like, a crossover of Fantastic Four X-Men in every decade that they existed. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, it's part of their lore. Like, they cross over naturally, too.
Right. So it's not a big stretch.
But what you don't get is Hugh Jackman's Wolverine fighting the Thing. That's the one thing you don't get, because by that point, he's done. With Wolverine.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a more savage Wolverine. I'm ready for it.
Well, here's the thing. Here's a question I do want to pose, because we got a lot of comments on it, speaking of Wolverine, since we're talking about the Marvel Universe. But a lot of people are asking what he should do. A lot of people think that he should be fighting the Hulk, which won't happen. My expectations are very minimal for the last Wolverine movie. My expectation is I'd like him to don it, even if it's for 5 minutes, the original suit. That's all I'd like to see.
You're preaching to the choir, man.
But if they're doing Old Man Logan, there's no real justification for that. If they're doing that story, or something like that story, there's no.
I have a good feeling they're going
to
be doing.
Then again,
like that.
I mean, if they do that, then they would have to do the flashback sequence in the book where he kills off the entire X-Men.
Do you remember the other Old Man Logan storyline?
Spoiler, by the way.
How would you? I just want to know how you'd shoot that. Do you
remember the other one where they go old, like the end, the 6-part series?
I don't remember that one.
It's Logan. It's supposed to be the end of his life, but it's like an alternate timeline. It didn't really count, but he like finds his long lost brother and all this stuff, and just goes on a crazy journey. And he dons the costume again.
Wasn't that storyline part of what Wolverine X-Men Origins was supposed to be? Because they had made the connection That Sabretooth was the long lost brother and blah blah blah.
No. That was actually Origins.
Yeah, that was Origins.
The comic series.
Was it the Origin comic?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's right. That it was then. Because the bone claws and the whole nine. That's right.
The Wolverine is a little kid, just a little whiny English boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Sabretooth and his drunk dad.
Yeah, his drunk right.
My dad used to beat me.
Snick, snick.
Yeah, you can kill dad with your claws, pal. Jeez.
And all of Wolverine's real memory problems came from a fat guy burning all his shit. I did it again. I swore.
It's fine. Don't worry. Did you know what I did last time when you did that? I put in a little chirp for you.
Nice.
Yeah, so don't worry. It's fine. I just don't want to be having to do it the whole time.
Yeah,
it's fine. I took care of it for you.
You should get some leeway. I mean, South Park.
Yeah, they actually...
They did a ninth of a...
We do, but I just want to make sure that if you're sitting in the car with your kid and listening to us, reminisce, you know, you got a leak over here. Just,
yeah, you only have to deal with all of our other innuendo and suggestive crap.
Absolutely.
But you don't want your kids getting...
Anyway, this has been the NerdWatch Spoils Mission Impossible Rogue Nation podcast. We talked about a lot more stuff than Rogue Nation.
This felt like a Tuesday podcast.
It did, didn't it? It's so weird. I think that we should get Tom Cruise on board and do a superhero movie before he retires. He should do something.
That's
anything.
New. Damn.
Anything.
He plays new Wolverine. Why not?
Wow.
Oh, hey, he had the lats for it. He had some killer
lats. He does
lats.
Have the lats
He's
for
also
it.
A runt.
He is a very that much
is.
A runt.
Go.
Yep. And all we got to hear him say is bub. That's
and
all
we
got to hear
he
him say.
Know he can get intense.
Yes.
I don't know him with the facial hair, though. That might be a little weird.
Yeah, that's a little
weird. Or the hairstyle.
Oh. That Wolverine would be weird. Do all that running.
Oh, man. There's a lot of running. But there's a lot of... If we're honest, if we get back to the whole original Wolverine thing and he takes over, he's going to have to run with his hands down because he has to act as if the adamantium is weighing him down. So so he's going
to
run...
Why would he need to? Hugh Jackman doesn't.
Well...
He's all like...
These things are made of plastic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No problem for my CGI claws.
With CGI claws.
Snick, snick.
All right, so Tuesday, we're meeting back here again, and we are going to try and see...
We're going to try to get out of seeing Fantastic Four.
We're going to try and get out of seeing Fantastic Four, but we won't, because we're going to take the bullet for you just like we did for Pixels, and like we did tonight for Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
This was not a bullet I didn't mind taking, though.
I tell you what, this was definitely not a bullet for me. I thought it was fantastic.
Go see it.
You would definitely have to go see it. It has the best action opera scene since Foul Play with Chevy Chase and Goldie Hawn.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't
what?
Believe. Yeah, I just invoked a film from the
1980s. And the best dangling off a plane scene since Commando.
Commando. Yeah. Well, let's be honest. Not even Schwarzenegger could do that stunt in Commando.
I think even Schwarzenegger would have seen that. And be like,
not
no
even,
way.
No way.
With
no
my
way.
Stunt double.
Listen, when you climb stand up the bridge down. And you are at the OT-8. In the Church of Scientology, you can read minds and you can do just about anything.
Yeah, you can fly. He didn't even care if he let go of the plane.
That's
what I'm
saying.
He would have drifted right back to the ground
safely.
That's
what I'm saying. TC is... Tom Cruise is awesome. Yeah, he's amazing.
How is he not dead when they open that door? When they finally open that
when,
door?
And
he
knocks
around.
And he pinballs around and he hits his head on the...
He kind of just looks up and he's like... Well, better finish this
like
mission.
Like you woke up with a hangover or something. Like, how did that not kill you?
Finish this mission and
Scientology,
like,
I guess.
Like nine hard metal surfaces.
Scientology.
Scientology.
That's right. It's what it is.
They give you a titanium skull once you go OT7 or
OT8.
Right.
Yeah.
See, there you go.
And if you tell me you can't, if you're telling me that I can't do it, then you're a suppressive person, sir.
That's true, yeah. You don't be suppressive to
don't
people at that level.
Me. That's what I'm saying.
You get the titanium skull.
That's right, absolutely. All right. So, Tom Cruise is a superhero in real life, according to this podcaster. So, go see his movie. He's great fun to watch. I can't wait to see the next Mission Impossible. It should be fantastic. I want to go back and watch the other Mission Impossibles because of Rogue Nation.
Especially number two.
Especially number two. The most underrated Mission Impossible there is. Can I rate that any higher than Rogue Nation?
Just doing it every
rate it any higher. I think my list would be... Rogue Nation.
Number two is the number one movie.
Right?
Rogue Nation
number two.
Rogue Nation would be number one. No, Ghost Protocol would be number one. Rogue Nation would be number two. Mission Impossible 2 would be number three.
Over the first one, sir.
Over the first one. Wow. I have such an affection.
I will be John Woo ahead of Brian De Palma.
I can't believe I'm doing it, but yes, I have to say there's something.
And part two did not have Emilio Estevez.
You're unfriending me from Facebook.
Unfriend. Sorry. Okay, we're good.
You're good now.
Wait, now I gotta write a blog about this. Can you believe this?
I didn't mean to offend anybody's sensibilities about Mission Impossible.
You are suppressing me, sir.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
I'm nowhere near OT, whatever, but eight. Hey, it's I feel good. Suppressed.
Anyway, we're out of time, so until next time, I, of course, am G-Money for Format, Dan and Analika, for Maui Comics and Collectibles, for hosting us on this lovely evening. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Go watch Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. It was fantastically fun. You won't regret it. So until next time, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next time, we say to you, aloha.